You're listening to the North Canton Chapel Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. The North Canton Chapel exists to make much of Jesus every day to everyone. It's our prayer that this podcast will equip you to do just that. We believe that there's nothing like the church united together in gospel community. We'd love if you'd stop in and say hello in person if you're in our neighborhood. Our gathering times are at 9 and 10:30 a.m. Thank you again for joining us today. Let's listen in.
So exciting. So that was a little glimpse at that advanced commitment event. Many of you were there. That was just a little bit over our shoulder. And we gathered at the North Canton Y, where this whole thing called the North Canton Chapel started. And so thank you guys for those that were able to attend. For those that weren't, thank you for praying. It was just a good time. So quick little quiz for you. See if you're paying attention. How do you know if a tree is healthy? More trees. You were there. It's okay. You got it. More trees. So a little while ago, we gave you guys these acorn keychains as a symbol of saying we are not here for ourselves. We are here for those who aren't here yet. And so you know a tree is healthy, not just by its fruit or its roots, but the trees that take its place, that rise up in its wake to outlive the tree itself. We give our lives to what outlives us because that's what Jesus did for us. So if you are a guest today, or if today is your first Sunday at NCC, you're jumping on like the caboose of a very fast-moving train. This is the last week of our Build Family series, joining God's invitation to impact the next generation in our church and our community for the sake of the gospel. And today's called Commitment Sunday. What that means is we've been praying together a lot over the last week especially, but over the last month and over the last year and a half, seeking God's heart for generosity to our church and our community. Decisions will be made based on the commitments that we make today. And so here's where we're going this morning. First, we're going to sink ourselves in an Old Testament story all about rocks. And you'll see why in just a few minutes. Then we're going to fast forward a little bit. Jesus has a lot to say about giving and praying and planning. And we're going to take a look at his words. And then we're going to spend 15 minutes in prayer together here in this room. And we're going to be praying for the children of North Canton Chapel. We're going to be praying for the students who call this church home. We're going to be praying for our ministry partners. God has been doing too much in the last several months to leave him out of the conversation. And so we are going to be very prayerful and be very attentive to what God is up to. So let's talk about rocks. Here's what's going on. 1 Samuel 7. You can turn there, flip there, scroll there. If you don't want to, everything will be on the screen behind me. 1 Samuel 7 finds God's people on the cusp of profound spiritual renewal. In the very recent past, God's people have turned to foreign gods, gods like Baal and Asherah and others, as a source for their strength, their security, their provision, and their direction. Strength. Am I safe from that which threatens me? Security. How can I know that I'm going to be okay? Provision. How can I make sure that I'm going to have enough? Direction. How can I make sure that I'm making the right decisions? Those are all four very deep human felt needs that we all live with. And you know this, the world will always offer you shortcuts to try and figure those out on your own terms. But God's people have found that the gods that the world offers them are morally bankrupt and incapable of offering strength, security, provision, and direction. And so they've been seeking God in ever-deepening intensity until Samuel, who's God's leader at this point, says this in 1 Samuel 7, verse 3. Samuel says, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, which is if to say, if this is for real and not for show, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherah from among you. Direct your heart to the Lord, serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hands of the Philistines. And so the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherah, and they served the Lord only. Now this is called repentance. And it's always the first sign of revival. Repentance is an outward change in action that comes from an inward conviction in the heart. It's a movement of God that starts here but moves out here. Repentance is a disruptive change that reorders our priorities. Repentance is leaving something in the world so that you can gain something in God. Repentance is much more than I'm sorry or I blew it. That's just remorse and regret. Repentance is not I'm terrible and I'm awful. That's just self-loathing. Don't linger there. Repentance sounds like this. God, I have drifted from you. My drifting is ruining me and I am coming back. A lot of us know what that feels like. I do. There was a time in my life about 25 years ago where God got a hold of me in the deep down places. And that season of my life was characterized by a very disruptive and deep sense of repentance. I was brought to an awareness of my sin and how much better life could be with God as the orienting center of my life. It kind of felt like a strong conviction of what was and a warm invitation into what could be, both at the same time. That's repentance. But here's the point. You cannot have revival without repentance. Before the new thing can grow, the dead thing's got to go. That's where Israel is at this point. This pot has been slow cooking for the past 20 years or so, and it's just about to boil over. And so Samuel, attentive to what God is up to, seizes the opportunity. Verse 5, Samuel says, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now this sounds great, right? God's stirring, the people are moving. Verse 7. Now, do you feel it kind of move a little? Now, when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel, and when the people of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Strength, security, provision, direction. Those needs surface again, and they form like storm clouds on the distant horizon. Here's the question. Who are they going to turn to? Which God will they summon? Fear and uncertainty both have a way of testing your resolve, don't they? They have a way of putting pressure on you to return to what's comfortable. And so what do? Good news, verse 8. The people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord, our God, for us, that he may save us from the hands of the Philistines." And so Samuel took a nursing lamb, offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord, prefiguring another lamb who will be offered. Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were defeated before Israel. This is awesome. And then verse 11, the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as Beth Kar. The principle, it's right where we were last week. If God leads you to it, God's going to lead you through it. And trust is often way better than clarity. You guys are already there. But here's where things get really good. Samuel does one more thing. And it's a very meaningful thing. And it ties to what we're going to do together in just a few moments. Verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone. And he set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, which means stone of help or stone of remembrance. For he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." Ebenezer is not an English grumpy pants from Victorian literature. It means stone of remembrance. And so super quick, what does an ancient pile of rocks have to do with what we are committing to today and what we are doing today? Plenty. Super quick. Five reasons why commitment is an appropriate response to God's provision. Number one, we've come through something. It does us well to remember that the church, for all its twists and its turns, right? Church has a history. Church is a people with a story. We've come through something together. Another reason, though, that commitment is an appropriate response to provision is that what we've come through is something dangerous. There's twists and turns that are often marked by unseen enemies. We have an enemy that would love for the church to lose ground and be divided on silly things. And the enemy would love to pull us off of gospel center so we can have conversations about things that don't matter. And that's a very dangerous thing for the church in our world today. Third thing we need to remember. We need to remember that we've come through all those twists and turns, all those ups and downs with God's help. I don't think we can say this too loudly or too strongly. The church is a work of God, with God at the helm. It is not about pastors or worship leaders or really any of you. It's God's movement. Now, I relax when I hear that. All those twists and turns we've come through, all those ups and downs, all the good seasons and hard seasons at the North Canton Chapel or any church, that's God at the helm. Fourth thing we need to know and recognize is we're actually prone to forget that. Our pride would love it if we could give ourselves some pats on the back for our ingenuity. We need to remember, here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I have come. Fifth thing we need to remember about these stones of remembrance, it means you're not done yet. It's not the last chapter of the story. There's more to go. And so you think about maybe when God's people over the coming generations went back and saw that pile of rocks and said, Dad, what is that pile of rocks about? And they go, oh, let me tell you about when God came through and no one else could, because this is the kind of God that we serve. And so we commit to him. Now, I want to turn us around a corner for just a few moments. In just a few minutes, we are going to spend some time in some very focused prayer. And during that time, we're going to have a chance to solidify those commitments that you've been praying over. That commitment card that you've had for about a month and a half or so, you're going to have an opportunity to come up and drop it in either these boxes or the boxes in the back. And we're going to spend time praying together. I'm going to give you some instructions in just a bit. But before we go further, our King, Jesus, warned us against moments like these. And he cautioned us against some elements that are often implicit in what we're about to do. And because we're Christians, we want to follow Jesus' teaching. So I think it's wise to sit under three very important ideas. So I want to leapfrog from 1 Samuel all the way to the Gospel of Matthew. Three quick words of guidance to make sure that we are entering into this rightly. Jesus helps us understand giving and praying and planning. And so when it comes to giving, Jesus cautions us. Here's the first one when he says this. This is Matthew chapter 6. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Whoa, strong words. Then he drills further. He says, thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and in their streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. Whew. When you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing, so that your giving may be seen done in secret. Your Father, who sees what is in secret, will reward you. That haunting phrase in the middle of that, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. What's he mean by that? Basically this, if you are after human applause in your generosity, loud, obnoxious giving will give you human applause, but that's where your reward will stop. But if you're after God's favor, If you want to live your life with the kind of generosity that God blesses, do good, be generous, and don't tell anybody about it. This is the ethic of Jesus. If you're out to please God, which does satisfy, If God sees, what need have I that you see? Here's the principle. Giving, really, when it comes down to it, ought to be marked by self-forgetfulness, not self-congratulation. And so, for today, we're about to enter into a time of giving and commitment, and you should give liberally and generously. And any time in these next 15 minutes, you can head to the offering boxes in the back once we pray together. And in one of those offering boxes, just drop in your commitment card, and my pastoral word for you is this. Just don't make a show of it. For some of you, you want to give online or give on your phone. Incidentally, that's how Mandy and I made our commitment. But for those that are giving in person this morning, let me tell you, just fold that commitment card in half, drop it in the box, and then go sit down and pray that God may bless you. Put it in there. Don't make it more than it needs to be. Giving ought to be marked by self-forgetfulness, not self-congratulation. That's Jesus' first warning for us. Jesus' second warning has to do with praying, and it's very similar, and it follows right on the heels of that. Verse 5, he says, and when you pray, which we're going to do together in just a moment, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, that they may be seen by others. I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, you go in your room, you shut the door, and you pray to your Father who's in secret. Your Father who sees what is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't heap up empty phrases like the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard by their many words. Don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Similar phrases, similar warning. Performative praying can be just as dangerous as performative giving. And with both those warnings, Jesus is tapping into something that's very deep in the human soul that says this: my pride would love it if you saw me as spiritual. And Jesus says, watch your heart, church. Here's the principle here. Prayer comes from vertical desperation, not horizontal demonstration. I'm desperate for God to move. I don't care what you think about it. That's how we ought to orient ourselves. And so we're going to pray together in just a few moments. And when we do, you can sit silently to yourself. I encourage you, though, if you're here with somebody, turn your chairs. We're going to pray out loud together. Or if you want to, like, you found your friends on another part of the room, get up and go over and pray with your friends. It's going to be long enough time for you to do something like that. Third caution Jesus gives us, and then some specific instructions. He cautions us against planning for the future. And here's what he says in Matthew 6, verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, about what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body or what you'll put on or what buildings you build or what budgets you create. Don't be anxious about those things. Is not life more than food, the body more than clothing, the church more than buildings? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life or dollar to the budget? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then here he drills it in. He says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Here's his point. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? How are we going to make everything happen? What's this going to work out? Gentiles seek after those things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What should we do instead, Jesus? Here it is. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. About a month ago, we were meeting with some families around Build Family and met with some good friends at Chick-fil-A for dinner, for Christian chicken. That's what we do. As we were talking, they asked me, they said, hey, so help us understand, like, the difference between, like, wisdom and faith, and, like, how does that work? Like, is faith just, like, courage baptized into, like, Jesus' name? Or, like, what separates faith from stupidity? It's It's a great question, like super important question. And I'll share with you what I shared with them. Here it is. Here's the principle. If it feels reckless, it's not wisdom. But if it doesn't feel like a stretch, it's not faith. Discernment lives in the balance of both. And so to be clear, we're seeking to raise $5 million over 2 years. That is just enough to feel like a stretch, but within reach enough to feel wise. And I'm hopeful that those funds will be represented by the commitments that we make today. And our leadership team, in conjunction with our elders, are going to be making decisions prayerfully over the next month about the scope of our project based on our commitments. And so we're not taking out a mortgage. We're not going to overextend ourselves. Those commitments that we make will help us budget with wisdom, but also plan in faith. So those are three quick warnings that Jesus gives us about giving, praying, and planning. And maybe you caught this, maybe not, but something I want us to consider before I give you some very specific instructions. Last word. Did you notice how Jesus grounds all three of those warnings? With giving, he says, hey, your God sees what's done in secret. With praying, he says, your God, he hears what's said in secret. And then with planning for the future, God knows what you need. What do all those have in common? Good news, chapel. God's already there. Jesus grounds our aspirations in God's ability. I take great comfort in that. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. So, band, you guys can come on back out. Let me give you a few quick instructions for these next 15 minutes and how this is gonna roll. We're gonna move into a posture of prayer for about 15 minutes or so. Here's what we're praying for. We're gonna pray for the children of North Canton Chapel and our community, the students at North Canton Chapel and our community, and our ministry partners. There will be prayer prompts on the screen to guide you along in that. At any time in these next 15 minutes, those who are giving in person today can make your way to the boxes in the back or to allow for traffic. We put two right here, and kind of creatively, you know how we started this whole thing with acorns? So I had a really good friend make those boxes for us specifically for today, and he made them out of oak. And so I think there's kind of a neat little play there. So you can make your way to those boxes and drop your commitment card in. For those of you who are giving online, or for those of you who are already, you've already filled out your commitment card, this isn't your time to go on autopilot or just kind of just sit there. Pray, pray. Rededicate those commitments to the Lord. Something I want to invite everybody to do, though, in these next 15 minutes. Everybody, whether you're giving or not. We thought it would be very, very important for us to remember that this work that we are a part of is God's work, not ours. And so everybody, at some point in the next 15 minutes, I'd love it if you could make your way to one of these pub tables. There's a few of them. And there's a little rock. I think we have enough of them, I hope. And I want you to take this rock home with you. This is your little Ebenezer stone. This is your little stone of remembrance. You can put it on a bookshelf. You can put it in your car's cup holder. You can put it wherever you're going to see it and remember it for the next 5 years because we've come through something together. We've come through something dangerous. We've come through with God's help, and we need to remember that because we're not done yet. We give our lives to what outlives us. This is what Jesus does. Let's pray together, and then once I say amen, music will play, and you can turn to those around you. We want this whole room to be filled with the prayers of God's people. So pray with me if you would. God, thank you, thank you, thank you for the privilege of partnering with you in your gospel work in North Canton. For children, for students, and for our ministry partners, God, we commit them to you. As we think about the next generation, help us to be obedient, to follow you forward in faith. God, for these commitments that we're making today, thank you, God, that you've asked us to not make them flippantly or to be seen by others, but as a way of committing what's in our heart. So, Father, we ask that you'd move in these moments as we commit these prayers to you. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
moments, head to the table if you need to. Drop your commitment cards in, pray, grab a stone. Thank you.
So there's a song that, by the way, if you're praying, stay praying. There's a song that we sing here, and I'm fiercely protective of it, as Micah knows. We only ever sing it on New Year's or between Christmas and New Year's. But I want to lift it out of that and bring it into here because I think it's a very important song for us to sing this morning. The opening line, I think I'm going to get it. Says, should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive. Unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. You can see why that's an important line for us to have in our hearts this morning. So we're going to sing two songs, the songs of commitment, and then I'm going to come back up and offering a closing prayer of blessing for you. So if you're able and if you're up for it, let's stand, let's sing.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the North Canton Chapel Podcast. If this ministry has blessed you in any way, please share this episode with your friends or spread the word on social media. If you subscribe and leave a 5-star review, it goes a long way to helping us make much of Jesus every day to everyone who hears these podcast episodes. You can also donate to this ministry at ncchapel.com/give. Thanks again for joining us. May you go out into your places and spaces, making much of Jesus every day to everyone.